welcome all to Mic Check Radio, where we examine a variety of issues within activist culture and protest politics from a point of view that we hope tries to avoid any particular ideology whatsoever. Think of it as a true alternative to corporate-owned and operated media outlets. Just a dude with a library card, an internet connection, and a microphone. You can find us online if you so desire, miccheckradio.blogspot.com. Questions, comments, concerns, corrections, or suggestions, miccheckradio@hotmail.com. Mic Check Radio is also a proud member of the Occupy the Media Collective.
Occupy the Media!
You can find us online at occupythemedia.podomatic.com. Both shows are also available for free in iTunes. Just search out Mic Check Radio and or Occupy the Media in the podcast section of iTunes. A few episodes ago, we put out an episode called the ISIS Terror Threat Comedy Hour. I recommend going back and listening to it in the archives, in the stream there, if you're interested. It's sort of a collection over the month of August of sound clips and things that I grabbed via the internet and a couple times around cable television of different levels of pundits and reporters, that's in quotes, going on and on about the ISIS threat and basically like, look the fuck out, they're coming to get you here in America. Because you got to amp up the fear, you have to amp up the, you know, it's all the usual stuff we've been talking about for ages on this show. It's pretty much the premise of the show. You know, like the state wants to keep you scared and afraid so that you feel like you need them to keep you safe and protected and blah, blah, blah. I don't really know to what end they're really playing up this ISIL threat or necessarily why, but it definitely keeps people amped up to the point where even like beat cops that stop in pretty regularly where I work in Cleveland, not in Erbil, not in anywhere in Syria, in Cleveland, stop in, will, you know, make mention of this. And I mean, a couple of times I brought it up, but they were also very much buying into the whole idea. Like they were talking about having meetings, you know, discussing like, you know, what to look out for, what soft targets are in their area. I was like, get the fuck out of here, Cleveland. Really? Are you kidding me? Anyway, that episode, I got some awesome hate mail from that episode, but I got some awesome feedback as well on that episode. And I continued to kind of collect some clips. And I don't want to be too repetitive with the show. I kind of like looking into different things as we go. So I had enough clips. I was going to do a follow-up to that episode. But the clip show is kind of a bit more labor-intensive than I want this show to be since I'm basically just doing it as a hobby anyway. But I do have a couple clips for this particular episode. But and specifically, I wanted to look at this coalition that's been put together to go over and fight ISIL. And it does seem to be like the people in the Obama administration and in the War Department and people that are going over to people that are in charge of orchestrating the United States military response to ISIL, they consistently call it ISIL. The news media seems to consistently call it ISIS. Nobody's picking up on just Islamic State, IS, or in the ISIS Terror Threat Comedy Hour episode. We played a clip from some idiot pundit on some corporate news show talking about how they really should be called TASI, T-A-S-I, the terrorist assassins of Iraq and Syria. That name just didn't go anywhere, although I found it to be hilarious. Anyway, the premise for this show then is not going to be the clip show that we had on that one. The premise for this show is taking a look at kind of how – I mean, you don't even have to be that old to remember the 2003 invasion and occupation of Iraq by the American military and the coalition that was put together by George W. Bush and his administration at that time. That was called the Coalition of the Willing. We have a Coalition of the Willing part two now under the Obama administration. And as we joked, I mean, it's not really that funny because people are dying because of this, but in the ISIS Terror Threat Comedy Hour episode, we were mentioning how like the whole like fear of ISIL and ISIS. What it definitely seemed like the run-up to the war in Iraq in 2003, well, it wasn't really a war. It was an invasion and an occupation and a dismantling of that country. The similarities are just fucking ridiculous. And the idea that you're going to use war and violence to stop violence, I don't know. I mean, it's counterintuitive on like on an elementary school level. The bullying campaigns that seem to be pretty effective at the school my kids go to, they're very it's literally the same thing. If someone is bullying you, like you seek assistance and help and report that. you don't just start bullying them back. That's how you get a fight going. Like, that's answering violence with violence. Again, like, at an elementary school level, like, we're teaching our children collectively here. We're teaching children, you know, that that's not the answer. And I don't know when they lose that as adults, but apparently it's once you get elected to fucking public office in the United States or any other, you know, major industrial nation that has an army and has to use it every time they think about it. But that said, the Coalition of the Willing was a – again, like, I don't want to use the word joke because thousands, hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives at the end of this. But the Coalition of the Willing in 2003 was a joke. I mean, it was a sick joke. That's how we'll say it. Okay, it's a sick joke because it's fucked up. It was a sick joke in 2003, and it's a sick joke now, and the parallels are ridiculous, and I don't understand how – I mean, it was barely like 11 years ago now. How, I'm not that old. Like, I'm in my 30s. Like, how is it that – I mean, I didn't even have cable news, and I'm not working in any administration, and I remember friends of mine, people that you talk to, you know, at work or wherever – everybody remembers this thing. Like, oh, yeah, that was fucked up. Like, that's – and like, well, look what we got now. Oh, that's fucked up too. I don't understand how the administration, the current administration running the show supposedly here in the United States now is doing the exact same thing as people were doing back in 2003 in that administration, and it's just not really – I don't know. It's just not really pointed out. It's not changed. Like, well, it's – I mean, I guess perpetual war is just what we fucking do now as far – I mean, we – I mean, you know, collectively the country known as the United States – I guess it's just the thing that the United States government does now. I mean, it's not really a surprise, I guess. It's not even a new concept for the 2000s. It's been going on for quite a while. Those of you who are too young to remember or drank away the memories of 2003, there was the thing that the Bush administration put together in their invasion and occupation of Iraq, which was known as the Coalition of the Willing. That was – I guess that was sort of more the the corporate media kind of label for it. If you look it up on Wikipedia or the Defense Department documents, it's called the Multinational Force - Iraq, MNF-I. It was just referred to as Coalition Forces, Coalition of the Willing. The United States, United Kingdom were kind of leading the way there. But there were several other countries involved in it. And I remember there being a big deal of it. Actually, if you watch the film, which I'm not a huge fan of, if you watch the film Fahrenheit 9/11, Michael Moore's documentary from 2004, he's got a comical bit in there, which is actually a really funny bit where he goes through the Coalition of the Willing in a pretty funny way. Some of the countries to throw out, I think it's probably because it flashes in my brain right back to history class where I wasn't alive during World War II, but you had like the Axis versus the Allies, and you had. It definitely is a callback to that because even during the Bush administration, W's administration, not his dad's, Bush Jr.'s administration, he referenced the Axis of Evil, and he was getting us all hyped up to fuck, let's go get Iraq. But the coalition that he put together wasn't really like what you had back in the days of World War II, because it was also a different kind of phantom threat than what you had also during World War II. World War II not being the phantom threat, the 2003 invasion and occupation of Iraq had the phantom threat of, you know, Iraq was going to come drop a nuclear bomb on the United States. No joke, if you don't remember that, that was a thing that administration officials were saying on quote-unquote news programs. So in 2003, the United States leads the way going into Iraq. We sent in 150,000 troops initially. I think we peaked, if my notes are right, we peaked at 180,000 troops. I think that's right. Didn't even crack 200. I remember that. So the United Kingdom was there with us. They sent in 46,000 troops at the initial invasion, and Australia sent in 2,000 troops. So that's pretty much the bulk of the numbers there, United States, United Kingdom, and Australia. After that, you've got Romania, El Salvador. And again, nothing against Romania, El Salvador, or any of the other countries, but this isn't exactly like the strong coalition that you're really picturing when you think like all these countries got together. Oh, what countries was it? Oh, United States, United Kingdom, Australia. And then this is where you sort of start mumbling to someone because you're like, well, you know, what are they really doing? You know, Romania, El Salvador, Estonia, Bulgaria, Moldova, Albania, Ukraine, Denmark, Czech Republic, Tonga, Azerbaijan, Singapore, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Macedonia, Latvia, Kazakhstan, Armenia, Mongolia, Georgia. Like, these aren't countries known for their military might. I mean, I guess that's sort of, as we're getting into some of these clips here, that's America's role now. Fuck, great. But like I said, the immediate recollection, the immediate thing that pops up in your head, the way that the administration at the time was phrasing it, was World War II and, like, you know, the Axis versus the Allies and or, you know, whichever way you want to word that. It just doesn't have the same ring to it. It kind of was, as Michael Moore pointed out in his documentary, and especially in that particular segment, it was kind of comical that we were calling it what we were calling it. I mean, like, Tonga sent 55 troops. Is that really, like, top of the list? You know, Estonia, 40 troops. Latvia, 136. Armenia, 46. Kazakhstan, 29. These are pretty low. These are extremely low numbers. At that point, if I was, you know, Armenia, I'd be like, wait, what fuck? Why? Well, okay, that's a separate topic, but it's probably worth mentioning here. There was a lot of interesting, how do you say it, controversies? Bribery, I guess is how I would say it. The IMF was sort of involved in some of this too, where, like, if you were part of the Coalition of the Willing, which is also a weak-ass name. If you want to be all rah-rah war about it, Coalition of the Willing, even Multinational Force, you know, hyphen Iraq, the way the military called it, it's not really striking fear into the hearts of your adversaries, I don't think. But anyway, there was all kinds of weird stuff. Turkey, they were offered $8.5 billion in loans in exchange for sending peacekeeping troops. So they weren't even really active ground invasion forces that the United States set up for them. Georgia, there was a thing where, like, the Americans were training Georgian security forces in exchange for those security forces being temporarily dispatched to Iraq briefly. And I mean, guess what? There was shenanigans going on behind the scenes in getting the Coalition of the Willing around and dispatched in 2003. I remember at the time, not necessarily joking, but talking about it, observing it and discussing it with friends of mine, saying, like, if this is what you have to do, you have to fucking bribe other countries to join you in going into this war. At what point are you just like, what the fuck? I mean, obviously no one did this because they don't have a conscience. These are all evil sociopaths in power at that time and at this particular time as well. You know, you're bribing your way to get an army together. It's kind of, I mean, I guess it's sort of how we keep the volunteer army going here too. You're bribed with, you know, college scholarships, tuition, pay, room and board, everything else. But at what point do you just go like, well, this isn't worth it? So I thought, you know, let's take a look at what we've got going on right now. This new coalition, is it changed? Have we learned any lessons? Because it certainly didn't seem like we were shaping up to have learned any fucking lessons at all from the initial, let's say, Afghanistan and Iraq invasions and occupations. So I went to the well of the internet and cable news broadcast. So what ended up, I pardoned on the clips. There's only actually three clips in this particular show, but the first one we're going to get is from CNN, where they're talking about how ISIL, or no, this is corporate news. So they're talking about it as ISIS.
Question: favorite dessert? Answer: ice cream on top of a hot apple pie. How do you maintain your beard? Shampoo, scented oils, and a comb. Have you ever fallen in love? The day I embraced Islam. These are the questions posed to an alleged ISIS recruiter on Ask.fm.
So, right off the bat, alleged ISIS recruiter. So, keep the alleged in mind. It gets crazier, don't worry, but let's keep the alleged in mind as we listen to the rest of this.
A site that's popular among teens. Approachable to the curious, accessible to the masses. His tagline, I'm just like you. CNN cannot independently verify the man's identity.
Okay, so again, we've already used the word alleged, and now CNN cannot confirm the person's identity. So basically what we have right now are our words on a screen, be it on your phone or your computer or wherever. There's words on a screen from some website that is claiming to be recruiting for ISIS, which actually, as far as she's just read to you, they're not even actually claiming that. They're just kind of talking on Ask FM. You know, it's where all the teens are going to ask questions.
A terrorism analyst, Mubin Sheikh, confirmed this man is likely an ISIS recruiter based on his social media presence.
Okay, so they can't independently confirm it. So they go to presumably somebody that they contract, some pundit, some expert, some whatever, to try to confirm it. And he can't confirm it either. But based on the social media presence that he's seen for this group, for this person, for this profile, he's saying it's likely that they might be with ISIS. So let's check back in with a clip and see exactly who is this gentleman they're talking to.
Sheikh would know. He's a former recruiter for the Taliban who later defected to work with Canadian intelligence. Over the last few years, he's been tracking ISIS tactics on Western social networks from a variety of recruiters.
Okay, so he's tracking them via social media. So number one, all we've established so far is that this doesn't even need to be a news report. They can't independently assess the person's identity online. So you stop right there. Until you can do that, you don't have a fucking news report to be reporting on. So you go find an expert who's like, yeah, it's likely that they're there because, you know, I used to be – I think this guy was like an ex-Taliban working with Canadian intelligence. So right there is also a red flag because he's working with an intelligence organization, you know, especially a Western intelligence organization. It's not quite the CIA, but, you know, I'm still not really trusting it all that much. So what's he been doing? He has not been out in the field monitoring anything. He's been presumably in a house, an apartment, an office somewhere monitoring the social media presence of supposedly members of some radical, you know, Islamic group. So, I mean, it's all so far removed from actual reality that you may as well be just getting a review of a video game at this point. I mean, it's all completely online-based, social media-based that could be created from anywhere at any time. This guy could be working with Canadian intelligence. Fine, that's totally legit. This guy – it's completely true. He defected from the Taliban. He's working with the Canadian intelligence. But maybe all he's monitoring are fake CIA setup profiles that are trying to entrap people or, you know, rile up. You know, who knows? Like, it's there's no real world intelligence going on in this story. And again, it shouldn't even be a fucking story. None of this is even confirmed.
Collecting Instagram pictures like this one before it was removed. It likened the ISIS fight to the video game Call of Duty. Propaganda posters full of heavy arms. Tweets telling readers to put down the chicken wings and come to jihad, bro.
Okay, aside from just being kind of fucking racist at that point, is anyone ever anywhere in the world, are they on Instagram, are they on Twitter and read, you know, put down the chicken wings and come to Islam, bro? Like, is anybody seeing this stuff? Has anybody seen this Call of Duty meme photo or these propaganda posters that are out there on Instagram? Is anybody seeing these and be like, oh, fuck. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Is this really radicalizing anyone? I don't buy this for a second.
Tweets telling readers to put down the chicken wings and come to jihad, bro. Posts that make them look like average guys playing Xbox. Pictures of what they ate for dinner. On Ask.fm, curious readers inquire about ISIS married life. Do they own a house or get paid? Answer, they're paid $700 per wife. Another asks if he could join, even if...
Okay, that right there merits an actual little bit of investigation. They're paid $700 per wife. By who? How? Is that in cash? Is that a check? Is that direct deposit? What the fuck are these people talking about?
He doesn't speak Arabic. In some of those answers, you'll see a kick username, encouraging users to message on a private app. As the process continues, some users are directed to more secure sites, like this password-protected jihadi web forum. In a statement to see
a password-protected jihadi web forum. Here's the other aspect of why this whole thing just smells like bullshit to me. I mean, just reeks of it. We all forget about how everyone was up in arms about the NSA and the CIA and like all the spying and snooping on people and backdoors into Facebook and in these apps that, you know, sneak out all your personal information. You had, you know, the big Target, you know, lost everybody's credit card information. What was it? JP Morgan Chase had like the largest breach of security, financially speaking, this summer of all time. Home Depot just had something here. Like, a password. Can't the NSA crack this shit? Like, if we're actually going to have this giant intelligence apparatus that's all seeing, all knowing, all snooping all the time, then can't we, you know, can't we direct that towards this? Can you crack this code? If this is truly a threat, you know, don't they have a whole team in Langley or, you know, somewhere in some basement somewhere or some office building somewhere with all these servers? The NSA, that facility they're building out west. In Utah? This code can't be cracked, but you could be messaged through AskFM, a username and password, to log into a jihadi forum and chat there. It's the same thing we brought up in the ISIS Terror Threat Comedy Hour episode where we played a clip where I think it was John McCain was saying, like, yeah, we're tracking like 100 people right now that are Americans that are overseas fighting. He was like, okay, if you're tracking them, then fine. You got them, right? Like, what the fuck is the worry here? There's actually problems in the world we could be focusing on, not these phantom things that keep popping up just when it's convenient because the people in power need something for everybody to be scared of.
Then AskFM says it's focused on being able to understand and catch specific threats. The company says it's been removing profiles aimed at recruiting young people. Instagram says they don't allow terrorist groups like ISIS to promote their causes on the site. But Sheikh, who's been monitoring the activities for 2 years, says the Western world is playing catch up.
Yeah, that's awesome, because like the people that we really need to be worried about here are like the Ask FM, you know, system administrators or the Instagram. Like, they're not allowed to recruit on Instagram. Well, didn't the corporate media just tell me that's where they're fucking recruiting? This is how people are being radicalized. It's to the level of comical if it wasn't, you know, if there wasn't a body count actually going on, you know, associated with ISIL, with ISIS. So anyway, they're being recruited. They're going to this supposedly like encrypted, secured, can't break this code jihadi, you know, websites and forums to chat about shit and plot shit. And fine. All right. That's going on. Whatever. I don't really buy it. But, you know, there they are. They're on Ask FM. They're, you know, asking questions. They're getting radicalized. Next thing you know, with the American passports, they're heading overseas. They're getting their training. So let's say all of that is completely legit. Go with me now. Thought experiment time. This is all totally legit. The radicalization is going on just online, just based on what they're reading and what they're talking to and their interactions with, you know, jihadi radicals on secure web forums that somehow are gigantic. And when I say are, I mean the United States, obviously, gigantic intelligence infrastructure, let alone any other actual, you know, fully functioning, prosperous first world nation that has their own intelligence networks. They're all over the place. They're in all these countries. I'm sure they have their, you know, the Germans, the Italians, the French, the, I don't know, the British. I can only think of like European white countries right now for some reason. They have all of them. They have their own intelligence services doing just the same shit we're doing that we don't ever hear about. But like, so none of these people can crack this code. My favorite too is that ISIS is supposedly, you know, like $1 billion a day, whatever the number is that they're raising, because they are hijacking these oil fields over in Iraq and they're pumping out the oil and they're selling it. Like, that's not done with suitcases full of money. Like, that's done electronically to giant multinational oil and gas corporations. That can't be traced and stopped? Or, like, give me a fucking break. This is ridiculous. This is why this is a phantom bullshit threat that's just meant to amp up the fear of the American public here. So, to keep the clips at a minimum, I found President Obama went on 60 Minutes. I think it was 60 Minutes. Yeah, 60. Well, fuck it. We'll say it's 60 Minutes. I'm pretty sure it was. And he's asked these questions about ISIL and ISIS. Well, he says ISIL because he's in the administration. And as we said, at least in all the quotes and the clips I keep hearing, the administration officials, you know, the War Department officials, everybody else, the Pentagon, whatnot, they're all saying ISIL. The corporate media all says ISIS. It's confusing. They need to work on their branding, but whatever. So the president's interviewed and they're asking him about their recruiting tactics. And so, again, thought experiment, assuming that this is all accurate and everything we've heard about the online recruiting and blah, 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 that's all true. Now let's hear what the president has to say about all of that.
They have now created an environment in which young men are more concerned whether they're Shia or Sunni rather than whether they are getting a good education.
Okay, you know, I'm on board. Education's super important. We just did a three-part series on the miseducation of the masses. I'm completely with you, President. Education is much more important than whether or not you're Sunni, Shia, you know, any other silly religion that doesn't mean anything to me anyway. Yeah, education. That's hugely important. If only we could direct them over to like the, you know, Khan Academy rather than, you know, jihadi web forums that are encrypted and we can't crack their codes. All right. Hopefully he follows up with more intelligent words like that.
Getting a good education, or whether they are able to you know, have a good job. Many of them are poor. Many of them are illiterate and are therefore more subject to these kinds of ideological appeals.
Okay, we all just heard that, right? The president is saying that they're predominantly poor people, economically depressed, horrible situations. Okay, I could see why they'd be drawn to something a little bit more radicalized. It's promising them $700 a month if they have a wife or several wives or whatever. But it also just said they're illiterate. How the fuck are you being recruited by jihadi web forums if you're illiterate and you can't read? How is Inspire Magazine inspiring you to go, you know, go join the jihad and the caliphate? It's just mixed messaging here that doesn't make any fucking sense at all. So in the same 60 Minutes interview, he continues with this shitty question from some half-assed reporter here doing this interview on 60 Minutes. And he – well, you'll hear the word in a second. I don't need to summarize it for you. But we're going to get into now, like, what are the members here? Like, what's actually going on? What is this new coalition of the willing, and what is it exactly that the coalition of the willing now is providing? Let's go back to the horse's mouth, so to speak.
I think everybody applauds the efforts that you've made and the size of the coalition that has been assembled.
No, they don't. Do you hear clapping? I'm not clapping. Are you clapping? Are we applauding this guy for putting together this coalition?
But most of them are contributing money or training or policing the borders, not getting particularly close to the to the contact.
Okay. You know what? I'm aboard. That's a fair question. Let's take a look at what it is exactly some of these countries are providing. Iraq. Obviously, it's the location of the fighting. They've authorized France to use Iraqi airspace and have welcomed support, the support that Obama is lending them on behalf of the Americans. Okay, that's literally the least you could do. I thought there was like a fully didn't we leave that country, the fully trained Iraqi army that was, you know, top notch? If we have the greatest military in the world, then we are training the Iraqis for goddamn, wasn't it like a decade at least or more? Yeah, this seems like they've shipped to snuff, but that's not really mentioned too much there. They're requesting military airstrikes from the United States to help battle it, but there's not really any real – this is from the State Department's website. It says that they're authorizing France to use Iraqi airspace and welcomed the support from the Obama administration. Well, okay. I mean, I guess at least they're welcoming the support rather than the way it would happened in 03. Jordan, they're also involved as well. They've actually destroyed a number of Islamic State targets through airstrikes in Syria. Okay. That's at least they're physically doing something. I'm not pro-war by any means, but if you're going to put together a coalition, are we spreading around the responsibility here? Bahrain, they've actually carried out some airstrikes against the Islamic State in Syria. Wait a minute. If Iraq is the location of the fighting, according to the State Department here, or I'm sorry, this is the Defense Department website. Why are two of the three coalition members so far bombing Syria? Okay. Saudi Arabia, they're also involved here. They have participated in airstrikes in Syria. Oh, that's weird. That's not Iraq either. Also says Saudi Arabia has frequently condemned the Islamic State. Well, you know, okay, again, minimum, but whatever. They've donated $100 million to the United Nations Counterterrorism Center and $500 million in humanitarian assistance. That's actually great. Okay, $500 million in humanitarian assistance. That seems like that's quite needed. It does seem like it's more of a humanitarian crisis at this point than anything else. United Arab Emirates. That's always a tongue twister for my tongue for some reason. United Arab Emirates. They're participating in airstrikes in Syria. Syria again. That's Syria. That's not Iraq. All right. France. Okay, France. We already heard before. You know, Iraq gave them the go-ahead. Come on in and bomb us. It sounds fucked up, but they did. They bombed a warehouse occupied by the Islamic State in Iraq last week. This article was actually a couple weeks ago at this point. It's also quoted as being, quote, one of the United States' key allies in the air. The French Air Force has also carried out recon flights over Iraq. Oh, okay. Somebody else is heading to Iraq for this, not just Syria. They've also vowed to take part in future airstrikes if needed, which is in quotes for some reason. France has sent 59 tons of humanitarian cargo to Erbil with further deliveries due soon. So, okay, great, good. There's some humanitarian effort going on. I guess once you bomb the fuck out of an area, you probably need to provide some humanitarian assistance there as well. Germany has sent 40 paratroopers to Iraq to provide weapons training to Kurdish fighters. And they're also sending 16,000 assault rifles. So that's, more war shit, so fine. Canada has deployed several dozen members of the – several dozen members. That's what? Three dozen then? Under 50, we're talking about, of the Canadian Armed Forces to Iraq. Okay, so they're going back to Iraq as well. They're skipping over Syria. They've sent $15 million in support for security measures. That's vague. United Kingdom, supplying arms to the Kurds, and Royal Air Force Squadron has contributed to surveillance operations. Okay, again, it's kind of the least we can do here. Australia has agreed to deploy, quote, military force to the region. That's insanely vague. Is that the region? That's not Iraq. Otherwise, they would say Iraq. So that's got to be an Iraq-Syria combo, or maybe just Syria, but they don't want to say Syria. Italy's $2.5 million in weaponry, including machine guns. Okay, fine. Czech Republic provided fighter jets and 500 tons of ammunition. $1.5 million in humanitarian aid to Syria. Okay, so again, we're back to Syria. Albania providing weapons and ammunition to Kurdish forces. Okay, Netherlands. 1,000 helmets and 1,000 bulletproof vests for Kurdish forces. So we're really, everybody's really pushing for the Kurds there. Estonia has provided 1 million machine gun cartridges and a Hercules transport aircraft. Okay, doesn't say if that's going to Syria or Iraq, so who knows there. Hungary, 7 million cartridges and thousands of mines. And mines. The fuck are we still using mines? As human beings, why are we still using mines? That's going to definitely help out the situation. Hungary has also sent $90,000 aid package to Christians in Erbil. So hopefully if you're in need of some humanitarian effort and relief in Erbil, you're Christian. Otherwise, you're not getting any help from Hungary. We got Turkey, Belgium, Denmark, Lebanon, Sweden, Kuwait, Switzerland, Japan, Austria, New Zealand, South Korea, Ireland, Spain. It kind of reads like the Coalition of the Willing from Gulf War One. Again, though, there's this weird heavy focus on a lot of like Syria, which you're not hearing too much about when the president's talking about his new Coalition of the Willing. But again, it seems like, you know, America's taking the lead there. I wonder if the president has anything to say about how everybody else is kind of like vaguely participating, or a lot of it just is promises of certain things that are going to be sent, or, you know, here's 1,000 helmets or whatever. Again, I'm not pro-war, so I'm, you know, kind of mostly just mocking this effort. But let's check back in with the president and see what else he's got to say about this coalition that's been assembled.
It looks like, once again, we are leading the operation. We are carrying
Steve, that's always the case. America leads.
Yeah, America leads. Yeah, America. Fuck yeah. You know, it's Team America. It's that mentality. You can also tell he's very serious about this because also, I guess we should probably preface this. A sit-down interview with the president in 60 Minutes is scripted. There's no way there's off-the-cuff questions happening. There's nothing, you know, out of the ordinary that's going to pop up. If somebody stammers there's redos. This is not a live interview by any means. So you can re-record it if something goes wrong. You can, you know, amend it. You can switch the question, you know, whatever. If you need a minute to think about it, you know, his throat gets dry or something. Like, it's scripted. It's rehearsed. So he interrupts the reporter. That's a reporter. He interrupts the interviewer on this entertainment show because it's serious. You know, he's serious. He just interrupted him. He didn't even let him finish his thought. He had to interrupt him because it's that serious. That's how much of a leader he is. He'll interrupt you just to get his point across.
That's the case. That's always the case. America leads. We are the indispensable nation. We have capacity no one else has. Our military is the best in the history of the world.
Whoa. That's impressive. I don't really have numbers in front of me. Genghis Khan, Alexander, the Roman Empire. The Chinese Navy was fucking impressive way back when. I mean, I know like currently we're number one. We're number one when it comes to the military, but history of the world, that's interesting. Let's keep that in mind, I guess.
And when trouble comes up anywhere in the world, they don't call Beijing. They don't call Moscow. They call us.
Interesting that he would mention Beijing or Moscow as like the two alternates to who you would call if you needed, you know, military help in the world. Also, who the fuck is calling us saying, you know, hey, can you come over here and bomb our country? We need some help with this shit. Anyway,
that's the deal.
I mean, it looks like we are doing 90%.
Steve, there is not an issue when there's a typhoon in the Philippines. Take a look at who's helping the Philippines deal with that situation. When there is an earthquake in Haiti, take a look at who's leading the charge, making sure Haiti can rebuild. That's how we go. That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. Obviously, there's no audio recordings, but if you think back to different, eloquent, highly intelligent presidents that have led the United States over the years. Go back to, let's do the standards, you know, the founding fathers, as they're called, or let's even skip over them. Like you have like the Jeffersons, you got the Adams, you've got the Lincolns. Go even more modern. You've got like the FDRs, the Eisenhowers. Like there's eloquent, intelligent, you know, white men that have led this country that didn't use phrases like "that's how we roll." Seriously, like that's a line right out of Team America, isn't it? America. As always, keep in mind, the job for revolutionaries is not to take up the gun, but to engage in the long, hard work of publicizing and understanding of this society. See you all in the streets. When I say power to, y'all say the people. Power to, power to. When I say power to, y'all say the people.
Occupy the media.